This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Flare him out, and the pass caught, and then dropped over the middle. Deebo Samuel would have had the first down and maybe a touchdown, and he caught it. Now the crowd, of course, is responding to the fact, give me the ball, and look what happened.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
It's not a hefty boo, but that's a boo. That's a boo. You can hear it.
Oh, it's a boo.
That's a boo.
It's a boo. You can almost hear Lucas and I chewing, too, in the background. It's really hard to hear, but if you tune in, you can hear us.
Levi's does take care of the food, man. They do. There's some options now.
Early second quarter, Lucas turned to me and said, it's the best press box ever.
I'm telling you, man.
I said, quiet. I'm eating.
Exactly. I want to go to the phones. I just... Going to Levi's and having that kind of moment, it's no different for me than eating at a Mexican restaurant. I am not mature enough to handle the chips and salsa. I'm just not. Yep. I'm full by the time the meal comes every time. So it's the same thing. You head to Levi's and you're just like, oh, here, as much as you want. And I'm just like, I'm supposed to choose between nachos, chicken strips, burgers, and pizza. And that you're like, I think I need all of it.
All of it.
I got to.
Yep. All of it.
Anyway.
Third and 10 at the 29, and the Niners had forced a 3-and-out on the Rams' opening possession of the second half. And Deebo runs a great little, I don't know if it was a slant, Greg Cosell,
no,
not till Wednesday.
I don't think it was a post.
Whatever it was, he breaks open down the middle, and Brock throws his best ball of the night right in the breadbasket, as Steiny would say, and just boop.
It's a touchdown. There is zero question.
And Pearsall's out there throwing a block.
Blocking.
Yeah.
There's no way that Deebo doesn't beat those defenders to the pylon.
Perfect play design. Everything was perfect except for the fact that he didn't catch the ball.
So how you feeling, everybody? Like, we're struck by the emotions that were in that building last night. And I can't even say the final score without laughing and rolling my eyes. 12-6? That's the final score of your season on the brink game? 12-6? I don't care that it was raining. It wasn't even raining that hard. Part of the game. The score was higher in Chicago 2 years ago. It was an absolute drenched downpour the whole game. Let's go to Wesley in San Mateo. Hi, Wesley. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate it. I love listening to the show.
Thanks, man.
I just want to say that Brock Purdy, he's been struggling recently. You know, seeing him literally try to jump and throw, and I think he jumped through three times. And, you know who doesn't do that? Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow would be a great connection with Ricky Pearsall. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Wesley, thanks. Your call was building, and then I got the joke that you tried to get off.
Yeah.
So, obviously... Tim Tebow's not the answer, but there is a Brock Purdy conversation to have.
And there is a Florida connection there from Tebow to Pearsall.
Sure, understood.
We'll leave that there.
Yeah, the jump throws from Brock, Sometimes jump throws, you're like, whoa, that's athletic, that's creative. Sometimes you're like, can you not see over the line? Is that why you're jumping? And yes, you got another big ball knocked down last night when they were deep in their own territory. There's no way around it. It's been a problem this year. His height has been a problem this year.
Well, it's been the offensive line. And the height's not a problem when you have a clean pocket.
Yep.
And you're still going to have balls tipped. And last year when he threw the four picks against Baltimore, two of them were tipped at the line of scrimmage. True. And so that's always going to be an issue. And, you know, it's up to Kyle Shanahan to roll him out and get him away from the defensive line that can tip those balls. But the biggest issue for Brock this year, I think, has been a lack of pocket security. He hasn't had a clean pocket a lot of the time. This is not to give him excuses because he's been able to make plays outside the pocket and make plays with his legs, but the lack of real pass pro this year has been an issue.
I completely agree with you. And so I am not of the mind that the 49ers need to move on at the quarterback position. I think too much has been achieved. I think he has shown that you can succeed with him. But obviously, like any football team and any quarterback, like there have been good quarterbacks who, you know, I think of Joe Burrow a couple of years ago when the Cincinnati Bengals could not block a stationary target. And it'll ruin you. It'll make it very, very difficult. And it's not like Brock has been awful all year. He has been lesser than he was the last 2 years. But I still think the scenario exists for him to play very well and for the 49ers to be successful. But yes, he needs to be better. He needs to grow from this. And yeah, they need better offensive line play. That's what they need. They need better offensive line play. And you know what? Maybe this will help. Maybe this will help. Maybe the blessing in disguise is that now Brock Purdy and his agent don't ask for $60 million. I don't know where that's going. I don't know how week to week it is. That's the phrase that Tim Kawakami used. Like, what's the price? It's week to week. Well, stock down. And maybe that'll help. Maybe that'll give them some flexibility that they weren't planning on in the offseason. Right. I don't know. But I still want Brock Purdy to be the quarterback of the team.
And I don't think that there's any doubt that they want Brock Purdy to be the quarterback of the team. So if we all start with that as the baseline, and you know, you can feel whatever you want to feel, and if you want to fire Shanahan, you can fire Shanahan. They won't. And if you want Brock gone, traded, cut, or whatever, you can feel that. They don't.
Yep.
So Shanahan's coming back. Brock is coming back. And Brock, I believe, is getting a contract in the offseason. But your point, I think, is a good one. And maybe it just changes the tenor and the structure of the deal. And, you know, Brock has struggled this year. And he's looked pedestrian at times. Yep. He's looked mortal. So maybe instead of 5 years and $325 million, 65 per, maybe it turns out to be 4 years and 160, which is what Daniel Jones got with the Giants. Maybe he ends up settling, quote unquote, and settling. I'm using air quotes because $40 million a year sounds pretty cool to me.
I would do that if I'm the Niners still.
If I'm Brock, I would take 4 and 160.
Yeah.
I would look at it and say, you know what? This year was not wonderful for me. It wasn't great for us. You want to pay me. I want to get paid. You know what? I'll take 4 and 160 with 100 guaranteed no matter what. And then let's go forward. And after 4 years, or 3 years really, if after three more years you still want me, then I'll get the really, really big bag.
Connor in San Leandro is next up. Hi, Connor. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys. Really happy when anytime 2 p.m. on a weekday comes around, feel like my blood pressure goes right down. This is like sports fan therapy. I feel like if I listen for all 4 hours, I should get a discount on my health insurance premiums. This is great. So listen, after having a season like this, after getting to the Super Bowl, I mean, this season could mean one of two things, because I think that we actually are in the off season right now. Either it was just a gimme year, and if so, that's great. Everyone gets a long summer. Maybe we get some good draft picks and a better schedule next year. Or it could really spell the beginning of Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat. And I think the difference between those two options is whether or not we have another goofy offseason. Huh. And I really do want us all to start to question, what does a goofy offseason look like? Like, what does a Farhan-esque goofy offseason look like? Well, first, the silence will be deafening, right? Like, Parag is not going to come out and tell us what he's thinking, and neither is Kyle. He's just going to sulk. But also, you'll sign Brock to the max. You maybe get an offensive lineman in a late round. And then we see these goofy luxury picks, like a wide receiver in the first round or a kicker in the third. And if we get to September, and he's leaving it to the sports radio guys to tell us, well, a good quarterback doesn't really need that strong of an offensive line. I got to be honest, that's a hot seat sentence to me because I love the guy. I said over and over on this show that he should run for mayor in any city in the Bay, he'd win. But for Kyle Shanahan to have another goofy offseason and not address what's obviously going on, he would deserve to be on the hot seat.
Well, Connor, it's a very interesting call. Thank you very much. I can only imagine Kyle Shanahan running for mayor. He would hate all the speeches. He doesn't like talking to the media. But anyway,
we're going to reduce crime and stuff, and we're going to try to fix the homeless problem and stuff.
Connor mentioned signing Brock Purdy to the max. I just want to mention there's no max. They can sign him to whatever they want. Yep. They can sign him to $1 billion if they want. But that's just sort of a quirky little response to what you said. This is what, as he put it, was the word wild or a bad
wacky,
offseason, a wacky offseason, yeah, what it would look like to me. If you get to free agency in the NFL and you start getting rumors and you get the headline, Purdy and Niners are far apart on a deal. And then the next thing that happens is Niners expressing interest in free agent quarterback Sam Darnold. That's the 1-2 punch I don't want to see.
Nobody wants it.
That means, yeah, you've mismanaged this, to me. If you get to that, you're setting yourself up for another chaotic, controversial, disconnected offseason. And you don't want that. I understand why today it may feel alluring to look at other quarterbacks. But it doesn't make any sense, especially that Brock has another year at only $1 million. That's going to be the cheaper option for next year for sure. I'd argue that Sam Darnold would look a lot like Brock in front of this offensive line. I'm not there yet. And I don't even think I'm going to be there. There's a real weird circumstance that would lead to that.
No.
This needs to be quick and quiet.
It needs to get done early because the last thing you want if you want to keep Brock Purdy is for him to not be in OTAs and maybe miss part of camp.
Totally.
If you want your quarterback to get better, and everybody wants Brock Purdy to play better than he did this year, the best way to get better is to work on your craft with your team and the quarterback whisperer. So if you want him, if you like him, if you're going to keep him, get it done early, Parag. Don't dawdle.
We're going to take all
shout
of your
Rico
calls. Yeah, 888-957-9570. Also coming up next, did you hear George Kittle after the game on Debo's drop, on the Devondre Campbell situation? George Kittle, one of the clear team leaders. You got to hear what he had to say. We got it for you next. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. This is Willard and Dibs.
As ever, 33 yards.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We were struck. I was struck. I don't want to speak for you. You were eating in the press box. I was struck by how everyone was feeling last night. I totally get it. I just mean, it was just something I took note of. That the emotions came quick last night. And they really were like climbing a staircase that led to the Debo drop. And the minute Debo dropped that ball, that crowd was different. And it never recovered. And it won't this year. And we will come back next September a different group. It's not going to be that like cocky Super Bowl or bust group anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Someone just called and was like, maybe this sort of weaves its way toward Kyle Shanahan being on the hot seat. Yeah, like could the start of next year feel that way? Honestly, that feels a little quick to me. I think you could get there in the year. if you look like, I mean, if you're out there scoring 6 points in season on the brink games again, maybe you could get there. But I'm still reminded of what was told to us 2 weeks ago by Tim Kawakami, who we respect a lot, and he is very tapped in. And he said this locker room would be legitimately mad if Kyle Shanahan was not their coach.
Right now, sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, new information and new situations change fairly rapidly. If they have another year like this, and, you know, you go out and you pay Brock in the offseason, whatever you pay him, it's going to be a lot. Doesn't even matter how much for the sake of this discussion. But you go back next year, and you mostly run it back, and you have this kind of a result, and you're 6-8 with 3 games to go, and again, you're not going to win the West, and you're not going to make the playoffs with a healthy quarterback. Well, now, if you get 12 months from now, and you're 6-8 again with a healthy quarterback, whatever else is swirling around it, then we can talk about hot seat.
Then it's for sure. Because, by the way, in theory, like you just said, now you're dealing with a lack of flexibility with regard to the quarterback position. If you're feeling disappointed about it again next year, and you've signed him and he's locked up for the near future, you're talking about a completely different animal.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ifs.
It's a ton of ifs. And, you know, looking at the schedule, and I know the schedule's not out, but knowing who they're going to play, AFC South, NFC South, looks like you're going to have a fourth place schedule.
Wow.
Which means your two crossovers are going to be against fourth place teams that, you know, this year you had to play Kansas City because you were first and they were first. And so that becomes a tough game. But the schedule next year, looking at the opponents that we already know, it is a lot easier than what you had this year.
No doubt. And I'll say, you say fourth place schedule. I would say it's going to be either third or fourth. The Cardinals could lose this weekend and have the exact same record as the Niners. They play each other again still. Niners could definitely end up with a third place schedule. But your point is well taken. It's an easier schedule by far and away than what they faced this year.
And if I'm looking at it right now, I would much rather finish in fourth than in third. And I know that you want to compete and you want to win games and you never want to go out and lose on purpose at this juncture, because there still is a chance. It's a minor, minor, minor chance that you can still win the division. But until that's totally exhausted, but you do want to go out and compete.
No, you want to show better.
You do.
Football.
Right.
And that's what Kyle, I actually.
However, there is a benefit to losing out, going 6-11.
Of course. Your draft position could go as high as the top 10.
And that's a Monday conversation based on what happens this weekend.
I appreciated that Kyle last night sort of blew off the whole, like, you guys are still mathematically alive. He's like, I don't care. Like, first of all, that's fool's gold. It's not realistic, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now at this point. If 6 points is what you have on that night, you have got, and players walking off the field, you got a whole different thing to discuss than rallying to make the playoffs. You have got to challenge your guys when you get back from this mini bye to just be like, you all have to play better football. And he needs to coach better and all of those things. Like, you have got to go get some good feelings back in your room as you move into the off season. And I think you start that by letting everybody know, you know, take Steve Kerr's line. It's a billion-dollar industry and people's jobs are on the line, including all of yours. So let's start today with earning your stripes for next year. We promised the Kittle comments and then we'll get back to the phones. This is important, I think. George Kittle, on his message to Debo Samuel after a night like last night.
Basically just said, one, there's things that you just have to take on the chin. Talk to the media, take ownership of whatever you had said before, how you played tonight, take ownership of it, leave it in the past, and move on. Because there's better days ahead for Debo, there's plays to be made for Debo, and he has more opportunities ahead of him to make plays for this team, and that's, I believe in Debo. You know, I've had games where I've had drops. I've had games where, you know, I did not play my best game, and people picked me up and allowed me to play at a high level again. And I love Debo. And he, while it was not his night tonight, when he did get the ball in his hands, I thought he fought his ass off to, you know, try to, you know, make plays for us in there. I know he'll be eating himself over that, you know, one drop, but he has plenty of plays ahead.
Yeah, as opposed to the tone around the Devondre Campbell situation, that right there is how you be a good teammate. You pick them up, you have their back, but then you also share a little honesty with them. You were bad tonight, and you need to face that.
Take it on the chin.
Don't you go not talking to the media again.
Right.
Don't tell everybody it's because nobody showed up to my locker. They're showing up to your lockers, a home game. You be there. You speak to it. You be authentic and honest. And then we'll see you next week. And that's sports. People accept that.
Yep. Five touches for 19 yards for Debo.
I just.
Two carries for three. And I've said this for the past 4 or 5 weeks, and I hope that Kyle's listening and stuff, but stop giving him the ball on the ground. Stop! It doesn't work.
It's probably
not working.
Yeah.
It's not working because the defense is on to you, because he's lost a step, because the offensive line isn't blocking, or all of the above, or none of the above. Whatever the reasons are that you think, I think it's all of the above. Stop doing it. It is not working.
Well, the element of surprise is key to Kyle Shanahan's offense and probably everybody's offenses. And when Debo Samuel's in the backfield, there just aren't any surprises. They're like, oh, Debo's in the backfield. He's getting the ball. So, and I know there are times where that's not always been the case, but it's different. When he goes back there, he usually gets the ball. They're ready for it. Let's go to Tom in the city. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I want to talk about Nick Bosa and his the double standard that I see both at the organizational level and also at the fan level. I think the Niners have two guys that are the highest paid players in their position. One is Christian McCaffrey, and then the second is Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa happens to also be the highest paid player on the defensive side of the ball entirely. And I think it's a factual statement. I don't think this is my opinion. I think everyone would agree at this point this is a fact. From the moment he signed that contract, he has never been the same player. And he showed up one day when he was holding out, one day before the season started. Brandon Ayuk was around the entire, he wasn't participating in practice, but he was around the entire time, leading up to the season. And Brandon Ayuk signed 1 week before. And so the biggest indictment you could give a professional, I believe, or one of the biggest indictments, is once they got paid, they never showed up in the same way. And right now, that's where Nick Bosa is. But what I saw from Kyle Shanahan leading up to the season this year, I didn't see when Nick Bosa was holding out. He was grumpy. He was pissed off at Ayuk. He was almost messaging that to fans, whether it was purposeful or not. The fans embraced that. The fans booed Ayuk. And I get it. He dropped some balls. It was frustrating. But he got paid. And the reason he held out to get paid is because of exactly what happened to him. And so the vitriol, and Debo was sort of a different case last night because of what he did on Twitter and then dropping such a key moment, but the booing of Debo as well. So there's this double standard as it relates to Nick Bosa, who is the highest paid defensive player in the entire league.
Yeah.
He needs to be a game changer, a game wrecker, and he hasn't been from the moment his pockets filled up with money. And my last point would be, if he had to go these last 2 years before signing that big check, I don't think we would have seen the two seasons we've seen back-to-back.
Well,
I don't know.
Tom, thanks very much. This is interesting. I think Tom probably has a lot of people nodding their head right now. I see it a little bit different. I don't see this as a double standard, and here's why. I don't think that the situations are perfect comps for one another. I get that you can say, well, the one was a holdout, the other one was a holdout. Here's the difference. Nick Bosa is coming off of a DPOY year. We can have a separate conversation over whether or not you buy that the second he signed the contract, he's not been as good anymore. I think that's been true largely this year, not so much last year. I know you didn't love the sack numbers, but Nick Bosa is a problem for offensive lines, and ever since he was DPOY, they deployed themselves differently toward Nick, and the Niners have not had a secondary answer. Nick is still, and this is also a fact, one of the hardest players to block in the NFL. And last year, he had a good year. It wasn't just sacks, but it wasn't a great year, but it was a good year, my opinion. But the reason these aren't comps, Nick was in a situation where he's coming off DPOY, and anybody, your dog and your cat both knew the contract he was getting. So I find that to be mismanagement by the 49ers that they waited so long to actually sign him because they knew they had no leverage. And they absolutely could have gotten that done in a month that was July or certainly the month of August. And they didn't do it because of ego and because of wanting to win the deal. To me, it's a totally different conversation surrounding Brandon Ayuk. because there is a very fair opinion of he's not worth that. He's not a top five receiver in the game.
Well, you're worth what you can get. And
well,
so,
sure. Yeah, he won, but right. I'm talking about the buildup to it. The buildup to it. And one of them handled it very quietly, and one of them handled it very loudly.
Yeah.
That also changes the tone.
It changes the opinion of fans, I think. But when it comes to what they got, Nick Bosa got top defensive money because he was DPOY, and Ayuk got top five or top seven wide receiver money because that market is completely out of whack. And put aside the injury, if Brandon Ayuk didn't get injured, I don't think that he would have gone on to have a 90 catch year this year, because this isn't that offense and he's not that player. So you look at the team, and I think the team botched it by waiting and then capitulating and giving him the money that they ended up giving him. And they reworked Debo's deal, and now Debo is in a spot where his contract can be dealt with post June 1st, and the cap hit won't be that great. They're going to be faced with really interesting decisions in the offseason. Forget Brock Purdy, but Javon Hargrave, Debo Samuel, a Kittle restructure, Charvarius Mooney Ward. There's a lot of guys who are going to either look at big pay cuts or they're walking papers.
Yeah, well, and Ward's a free agent, right? I think Ward's just, right. I think that's a let him walk. I hate to say it.
I don't know what the market's going to be like for him.
I hate to say it, but I mean, they made their choice with signing Lenore to the extension that they had, and Charvarius has been through hell this year.
He has.
And I will feel for him, and therefore I will view everything that he does through a different lens. But also, I mean, and by the way, that wasn't fully his fault. The Puka long catch last night.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Well, not solely, in my opinion.
It was man-to-man coverage, and there was one of the few times they blitzed, and D'Amador Lenore blitzed.
But it's Deshaun Gibson's responsibility to cover what's going on over the top, and he decided to go double-team a tight end.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a bad choice.
Sure.
So that doesn't mean Charvarius is off the hook.
Yeah, but Charvarius was beaten by 5 yards.
Yeah, he was beaten.
Yeah.
He was beaten. But there is somebody on the field that's supposed to be there in case someone gets beaten over the top and he went the wrong way.
And the safety's got a choice to make, and I'm not excusing it. And, you know, Gibson is your fourth or fifth string safety.
Totally. I get it.
He's pressed into duty, and he's a guy who you just brought back about 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And now you're asking him to go in there and make plays in a big spot. Not to excuse Gibson, but Mooney Ward in that spot as the cover guy in man-to-man, he got absolutely cooked by the
route. He got cooked. And Nakua is it was unbelievable to watch him up close. He's an unbelievable player. He is so strong.
Yep.
He is so strong and so smart. Grandy, did you have something?
Well, you guys are talking about Mooney Ward and his future. What's interesting is I think there's been a switch in the last couple of weeks. This team might need Talanoa Hufanga back, and he's a free agent. That might be a guy that maybe if his market is suppressed because of the injury history that they ultimately bring back. I don't think we felt like that was going to happen for most of the season.
That's a great point. And oh, by the way, any confusion that people might have been feeling about what to pay Dre Greenlaw, I think changed in one half of football last night. Because now he's going to be ready for his extension, and we were all sitting here going, "Deuce, do you do that?" And maybe it's stupid to feel the way I do after one half of football, but I'm like all in on Dre Greenlaw.
Yet
absolutely keep him.
His night ended due to injury and a different injury.
Well, precautionary.
I don't know. I mean,
the word was he said his knee felt funny. And in the situation they were in, wet field coming off Achilles, they went,
I get it.
Have a seat.
Of course. So, and then he had the Theragun on the calf as well. So
right. I think that's normal.
I'm just
normal.
Saying that if you want to talk about market value, you had a guy come back after 10 months, and not that he got injured, but the way he plays, I don't know if I would want to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal.
I do.
Because
he's
going to get hurt again.
But that's that, like, we love football players like that. The quote, way he plays, applies to George Kittle. It applies to Debo Samuel throughout his years. You have to have those guys, and you got to take the risks.
For what it's worth, Shanahan said today about Greenlaw that the calf and the knee checked out good, and he's day-to-day.
Nice. That's what you want to hear. And, of course, they were going to be precautionary in that situation, which, again, is what made the Devondre Kandrel situation just so, so awful. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
What's up, guys? I just want to say, man, forget about crowded house. It's over to the tune of Roy Orbison now. I mean, it's over! The question is, because I'm having difficulty naming more than 20 guys you can identify you want to move forward with, And another follow-up question with the, you know, you alluded to earlier with the contracts that they gave up in the offseason, are they kind of stuck between a hard place and a rock, which it's going to, you know, not give them ways, or it's not going to be able to retool and regroup for the next season, because they're going to need a lot of new people to bring in here if they want to continue and compete next year. And if they would have to pay Brock Purdy market price, that would be very detrimental, man. Because I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but he needs people around him. You know what I mean?
Well, but Jonathan, what do you mean by market price? Do you mean top of the market price?
Just going rate. What's the going rate? It's going to be about 50, right?
Going rate changes based on who you are. You know what I mean? Like, what's the going rate next year for Sam Darnold? Let's say Minnesota, and Jonathan, thanks. Let's say Minnesota wins one playoff game, and they've got the whole J.J. McCarthy thing. Sam's a free agent. What do you think he gets? He's not getting top of the market. He's not getting 50. He's not getting 60, but somebody might love the idea of a 2 or maybe 3 year $90 million deal for Sam.
Yeah, maybe even more.
Maybe. So I don't know what going rate is. I do think that this year has taken Brock, at least in this moment, off of the $60 million conversation.
Well, he's not going to reset the market.
No.
That's for sure. And I think that he's even come down off the $50 million mark. And if you're the 49ers and you wind up wherever you wind up, I doubt you wind up 9-8. It feels more like this is heading toward a 7-10, to be honest. Detroit's going to be motivated. They're better than you. Miami is motivated. That's a tough spot on the road, although you're better on the road than you are at home. And depending on what Arizona needs to do in the finale, Arizona probably will need that game as well. So let's just say you wind up 7-10. Wherever you wind up, you're not going to the playoffs, and Brock's had a bad year. So, yeah, and you don't have to extend Brock Purdy. You can try to make him play on his $1 million contract next year. You won't, and he won't. So, yeah. But the leverage point is there to where maybe you wind up giving him 4 years and 180, $45 million per.
Maybe. I mean, look, this will still, it'll change and evolve through the next handful of weeks. Also, Jonathan asked, does this leave the 49ers between, as he said, a hard place and a rock? I've never heard someone do it in that order, but that's wonderful. But my answer is no. I don't think that at all. I think we also continue to think about Brock Purdy's extension and think it kicks in right away, which it does not. They still have a quarterback under $1.1 million contract for next year. And yes, they probably will have to move on from some players. But one thing I've always had confidence in the 49ers in doing is their manipulation of the cap. They're very good at it. I remember a few years ago when the Niners were in their window, everyone was like, they have no free agents. They have no cap space. None. How are they going to re-sign all these guys? And it was when Trent Williams needed a huge new contract. And they kept them all. They kept everybody. They will be able to, I am confident, they will be able to manipulate this. Do they need some new players? You always do. Are there going to be some high-profile cuts? Very possible. And they'll navigate that. I do not think that as they sit here today, this means that their roster is automatically in shambles for next year.
It's not in shambles, but you're allowed to keep the majority of these guys if you want, but do you really want to? And that's the other part you get to.
A lot of them. Yeah, not all of them.
You're going to bring back a 37-year-old Trent Williams and hope that he plays 17. I actually saw Christian McCaffrey last night as I was heading back for dinner number 4.
Did you talk to him?
No, I wanted to leave him alone.
Okay.
And I saw as
he wanted you to leave him alone too.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why I'm not, hey, Christian, how's the knee? And he had a gigantic brace on his leg. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's already had surgery or not, but that thing was, you know, from the ankle all the way up to the thigh, and he's all wrapped up. So you're going to bring back your running back, of course, who will be coming off a pretty major knee injury. So, yeah, you can probably rework a lot of this and bring them all back, but my question is, do you really want to?
My answer for most of them is yes, not all of them, but the majority of the players, I don't know if it's necessarily about roster spot as much as it is about reliance and role. In other words, how much are we relying on Christian McCaffrey? Do you have a different role next year that includes Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo?
He's a free agent.
Yep, I understand that, right?
And Mason's not coming back.
Probably not, based on what happened this year. They probably can't afford him. But I don't think that a bunch of these players are now just dust. There are questions. There are questions with a handful of them. There's no, yeah. Absolutely. Jake in the city. Hey, Jake, what's going on? Jake.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry,
what's up, Jake?
I have my phone down.
Jake, we're short on time, so fire away.
I'll be quick. We've been talking about Brock Purdy's contract coming up, and I can't help but wonder. Earlier this season, you, me, everybody, we were going to war for that man. He was a top five quarterback in every debate we had. Right now, he's not even top three in our division. You got Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray. Geno Smith is second in yards right now. So why are we about to pay big money for this guy? Where do you guys put Brock Purdy genuinely in the rankings among NFL quarterbacks this year?
Among
NFL Niners quarterbacks, I put him number one.
No, I think he meant NFL quarterbacks.
I know what he meant, yeah. But for me, it doesn't come down to where you rank him in the NFL. It comes down to where you rank him among what you have and what you could have.
The fit, yeah. And by the way, this whole, like, I know that, you know, oh, he's the worst quarterback in the division. Sure, if you want to spotlight the last 4 weeks, I guess, yeah, you can do that. I don't really look at it that way.
Can sign him and not be tied to him for five years.
Like, Matt Stafford's got a better arm, but he's much older. Geno Smith, I still think Brock Purdy is better than Geno Smith. Kyler Murray I've been impressed by Kyler this year. He's done some things I didn't think he could do. But yeah, I think your answer is the best. It's not really relevant. The question is, do you think that the Niners can win with Brock Purdy? I still say yes. To me, that's the only question to ask. I still say yes. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. How are you feeling? 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr is just over an hour away. And let's dive a little further into the Devondre Campbell situation also coming up next and let you hear what some of the players said, because it was absolutely intense after that game last night. This is Willard and Dibbs.
To Willard and Dibbs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr is in that montage, and he will be on this radio station.
That might be your finest hour, is getting that from him. Because he doesn't give that to just anybody.
No,
and
it was a good moment. It was a good moment. And we'll see if we can do it again in an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, I got questions for Steve today.
You sure do.
A great question.
You elementary school ref, you.
I felt personally attacked by his post-game comments after the Houston loss.
You should.
And I do.
He was thinking about you.
Yeah. He's got some splaining to do.
Well, that's what he'll do. In an hour and 10 minutes, Steve Kerr right here on Willard and Dibbs. And while we're talking about Warriors, hey, all of you Warrior fans, do you even know that a game was added to the schedule? Do you understand that that means just like a bucket of tickets are sitting there that nobody has? And they're sitting right now on Warriors.com. And that Klay Thompson, for the second time, is going to be back here at Chase Center? Are you all rummaging through your closets right now to find those captain's hats so that you could wear them to Chase on Sunday? Sunday!
Sold mine on eBay.
There's no 49er game. Did you really?
No, but okay. They were going for like $125.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Are they still?
I haven't looked,
okay.
But...
anyway, yeah. I'm going to. Anyway, Sunday, 5:30 start, Warriors and Mavericks at Chase Center. And just a bunch of tickets that aren't normally available are available. Because this one wasn't on the schedule coming out of the NBA Cup.
Yep.
So check it out, warriors.com. And then we'll talk to Steve in just over an hour. But until then, we are talking to you about the most ridiculous final score I think that I can ever remember. 12-6 in a game the 49ers absolutely had to have. 888-957-9570 on the emotions that you felt as this one ended last night. And check this out. With regard to emotions, let's just get a small smattering of what the 49er players were feeling about the Devondre Campbell situation. Devondre was needed. He was asked to go in the game. Dre Greenlaw had to come out. D. Winters was hurt. You had Flanagan Fowles, who was out there, also a little dinged up, overworked, and not starting level linebacker. And Devondre, in his feelings because of the way the lineup cards worked with Dre Greenlaw coming back, told the team, I'm not going in. And if he had said this 2 days ago, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. Still a big deal, but not as big of a deal. But to do it in the middle of a game when injured players are playing really set the Niner locker room on fire. Here's what George Kittle said.
I didn't really hear anything about it until I got in the locker room, so it's all brand new information to me. Look, if you're on the roster, you're suited up, you're expected to play. I think anyone in this building that got asked to go in, I would say 100% of everybody would die to get on that football field. And so, you know, people are going through random things off the field. I can't speak on that. You know, whatever, you know, his decision was, it wasn't for this organization. It wasn't for this team. And no, that's on him. So, not very happy about it. I would have something to say. I wish I would have heard about it on the field, but I didn't. Is that the reason we lost? Absolutely not. But it's hard to win football games when someone doesn't want to play football, especially when you're suited up. And it kind of puts you down, especially when you lose two linebackers. And, you know, I could address another one.
One more from George Kittle.
That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
Okay. I mean, there's your statement. I've never been around that, and I hope I never am again.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Devondre Campbell needs to be gone. He needs to be gone. This needs to be as firm. I'm actually surprised, and we'll play for you what Kyle said today in just a minute. I'm a little surprised that we haven't gotten something definitive already.
Well, the words have been made, and the statement has been made, and the action will be taken, but I do think that there is a certain procedure that has to be enacted, and there's a certain amount of time. I don't think it does you any good to just go ahead and make the move right now. There are other ways to go about it, and it's pretty clear that he will never play for the 49ers again. From the words from Kittle and from Fred Warner and everyone else who spoke, Kyle Shanahan, he's not going to play for the Niners again. Now, how do you go about making that the best possible exit for you? Forget him. Forget the player. It's about you, the team, and I do think that there are other ways to go about it that have the same net result, which is he'll never play for the Niners again. So you play on Thursday, this happens, you wake up on Friday and you realize he's not going to be a Niner again. You wait until the end of week 15, then you come out and you suspend him for a week without pay, conduct detrimental to the team, easy to do, the union won't fight it, and at the end of week 16, then you go out and you cut him. That to me is the easiest and the most professional way to go about doing it. If you cut him right now, I don't think he could play this week, even if another team wanted him. But come next week, he could latch on to another team.
I totally,
maybe he becomes a Miami Dolphin, and he runs to Mike McDaniel and tells him all about all the things that he knows about the team.
And what are the Niners really losing there, seeing as you and others have already said it'd be better for them to lose these games on the way out the door? Like, I hear everything you're saying, and I'm just not worried about it. I'm not worried if he plays for someone else. The only thing I'd be worried about, what I don't know, is if there are some sort of financial ramifications for just cutting him today. But I would have cut him today. I mean, listen to Mooney Ward. Listen to this.
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told me that before the game. So I feel like there was some sucker shit that he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know, and I think Flynn was banged up too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon, so, you know, it is what it is with that.
That's some sucker stuff, and he's probably going to get cut soon. You're right. I've never heard a player say that about a teammate in a locker room.
Yeah.
He's going to get cut soon.
Well, that's
my
some
God.
Sucker stuff,
yeah.
Is what that is. And I wonder if he left the locker room before the game was over, because I know that the reports were that he went back to the locker room after Kyle went up to him and said, so you're not going to play and stuff? And he said, no. And so Kyle's like, okay. And Kyle basically went on about coaching the game. And at that point, Campbell goes back to the locker room. I would imagine that he dressed and got his stuff together and left before the fellas came back.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so, if he was smart. So those wanting to know what happens next, here's as much as Kyle Shanahan was willing to say today with regard to the situation.
Kyle, what are your plans to do with Devontae Campbell?
We're working through the semantics of exactly how to deal with it. But, I mean, you guys heard from me last night. You guys heard from our players. Like, his actions from the game is just not something you can do to your team or your teammates and still have to be a part of our team. So we're working through exactly the semantics of it right now. But we'll handle the situation appropriately.
Has there been any contact with him, Kyle? Has he further explained if anything was going on, why he did that?
No.
Kyle, when Fred had to leave in the, I guess, second quarter, Flanagan and Fowles went in instead of Campbell to replace him. I mean, did you have any sense before something may have been off with Devondre? Why didn't he go in it for that snap and why did Flanagan and Fowles replace Fred?
Because he wasn't by the teammates at all and was distant from everyone. I didn't notice until the third quarter. And Dre came out and D went in. And then I got on the defense headset and asked what was going on. And then the coaches told me, and then I addressed Devondre and found out. And it was pretty simple to see how he was, and then we moved on with our lives after that.
All right. And, I mean, I'm satisfied by the first answer. He said we're working through the semantics of it, the language of it, I guess. But he flat out said that's not something you do and get to still be a part of our team. So, I mean, Devondre is gone, and I don't think – it's going to be a matter of weeks. I think it's probably going to be a matter of hours.
Probably Monday. And it's, you know, the semantics of it for me is having to work through exactly what you're allowed to do, when you're allowed to do it, and what sort of roster maneuver you can make. Because clearly when you do cut him, whether it happens today or not until the week is over on Monday, you're going to need to elevate somebody from the practice squad, which means you've got an opening on the practice squad. Yep. And so you want to find somebody to fill that vacancy as well. So it's not as easy as I'm mad at you, you're cut. Well, you can do that, but there are certain other ways you can go about it. Like I was mentioning, you can suspend him for a week without pay, at which point you can elevate somebody off the practice squad, and you can go through those procedures while still having him technically a part of your team.
Kyle was asked directly if Devondre has any chance to be on the 49ers going forward. Listen to this exchange.
Kyle, just to be clear, you don't expect Devondre Campbell to be on the team week 16 and beyond?
No, I don't.
So,
yeah,
that's that. And this update from 510 on the Comcast Business text line, Campbell was cut off the team in my franchise mode on Madden immediately last night.
Oh, how funny.
So in the East Bay, Devondre Campbell was cut there too.
Off of Madden, so there you go.
Go on.
And his Madden team immediately got better, I would imagine.
I would imagine. At least has enough players. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.